The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now we're going to the United States. Luke O'Neill is there at the moment, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How's it going?
Very early for you, but thank you very much for talking to us. Now, you're on a mission in Boston.
I am indeed. Another conference, Pat, a big immunology conference. As you know, I attend many conferences. But it's notable because all the talks about the flu pandemic, the bird flu, H5N1, that's now spreading through America. And there's a concern this could be the next pandemic to afflict humans, basically. So there were like three or four talks on this particular topic, which were very interesting. And you may have heard of it. It's been spreading through poultry.
Yeah,
millions and millions of birds have died, by the way. It's the biggest bird flu outbreak ever in history, they reckon. And they're culling loads of poultry here in America. Wild birds are dying as well. And of course, the question is, will it mutate and will it then jump into humans? That was the big question.
Well, what's the history of H5N1? Because we've been hearing about it for quite a while.
We have. It was first seen in 1996, actually, in wild geese. That's when it was first reported. And then it began to spread. It's deadly for birds. It's one of the worst flus that a bird can catch, basically. And then they noticed recently, it was spread about a year ago, began to spread into the poultry farms in America. And again, they began culling them. And it's lethal, as I say. It's got almost 100% mortality in birds. And then, of course, they begin to find in humans. And 2 weeks ago, there were 6 reported cases in human in Colorado. They were all poultry workers who were involved in culling birds, and 6 got infected. 10 people in total have been infected with this. Now, it's called a dead end. It doesn't spread between humans at the moment. If a human gets infected, it's probably a very high dose has been called off a bird, and then it's a dead end. It won't spread. But as I say, they're looking very closely because viruses can change, as we know. And if it did jump into humans with that level of fatality, it'd be really serious, obviously enough.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is that because we have a regular flu shot every year, and if we don't have the flu shot, we sometimes get the flu, which conveys its own immunity. Would any of the existing flus we have convey partial immunity to H5N1?
They would. Yeah, now there was one talk yesterday. I think it's not quite as dire as you might imagine, because first of all, we have some immunity to all the flu strains. It's a bit like COVID, you know, we still have immunity to different types of strains of COVID as well, you know. So in other words, if this one did jump into humans, there will be a little bit of immunity there. Not as good as you'd like, perhaps, and there could still be severe disease, of course, and that's one good aspect. Secondly, we've anti-flu drugs as well, remember, Tamiflu. That should work against this as well. So that makes people think, oh, that might help us. But the big one, Pat, is to make an RNA vaccine. Now, there is a vaccine to H5N1, but the trouble is it's in short supply. The US is stockpiling it, which gives you an idea of the concern over here, you know. But we could make an RNA vaccine within 4 weeks. This is the COVID dividend, obviously.
So the existing H5N1 vaccine is not an RNA vaccine?
No, it's a regular one. Yeah, and the trouble is to ramp that up to make millions of doses would take some time. So instead now they're ramping up the RNA technology again, and they're going to make RNA vaccines. And the US government have just given Moderna, remember them, but they've just given them $176 million to help them make an RNA vaccine against this. So it's been taken quite seriously here in America, given the level of spread. Mm. So we could get a vaccine quite quickly,
now,
which is a good sign.
When
well.
We were looking at the history of COVID and whether it was a lab spillage or whether it was in the market that it began, there were deemed to be a number of middle creatures between the original infection from the bats and ultimate human infection. What about this bird flu? Are other creatures either in the wild or captivity getting H5N1?
Well, this is the second concern. It jumped into cows, and it's been found in 160 herds of cattle here have now tested positive for H5N1. And it seems to have mutated slightly to allow it to infect cows. Now, again, it's not quite as serious in cows as it is in birds, but still some cows are dying of this. And then the second thing they've spotted is it's jumped into marine mammals. So sea lions, for example, they found it in sea lions, and it seems to spread between sea lions. Now, again, that's a worry, because if that jumped into humans and then began to spread between humans. So it does seem to be very sort of labile is the word we use. It seems to be able to mutate. And then the big one is pigs. As you may know, pigs are another reservoir for flu viruses. And pigs are very good at mixing different types of viruses. So, for example, if a human flu went into a pig and this one goes into a pig, they could mix. And then H5N1 could acquire the ability now to take a bit of the flu, the human flu virus, into itself, and now it could have the ability now to infect humans. And that's something they're concerned about. Because when it's in pigs, it's pretty asymptomatic. It turns out it doesn't really make pigs sick. But if pigs have this reassortment process, and suddenly now H5N1 becomes changed and mixes with the human flu in the pig, and now becomes able to infect humans, that's what they're watching for very closely.
Now, what about if it's in a herd of cattle, or indeed in pigs in some facility or other, and we either eat the steak or milk or cheese from the beef, or whether we eat pork from the pig, if we consume it, can you get the virus in this way from an infected creature?
No, not really. It's airborne, remember. It's like classic flu, you know. And clearly what's happened on this poultry farm, they reckon, is they were culling these birds and made massive aerosols, you know, full of H5N1, and they inhaled them and went into their lungs, and it got a foothold in those poultry workers, probably because the dose was so high in that situation. So you can't catch it just from eating contaminated food. It has to be, it'll remember in COVID days, probably thought COVID was like the flu.
Yeah.
Droplets are the main way you catch flu. And so therefore respiratory is the main route. So there's no concern about eating this contaminated food.
All right. So there's no food alert at the moment. Now, in the new vaccines, the mRNA, as I recall, we don't need eggs for the incubation like we did for other vaccines, which is just as well if you're going to have a shortage of birds.
Well, that's true. So I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's very true. It takes quite a while to make a flu vaccine. They're still made in eggs. It sounds remarkable, doesn't it, Pat, with all this technology we have. But the flu vaccine we get every winter are made in eggs and have to be purified. It's a bit tricky, you know. The beauty of RNA is you make the RNA in a test tube, and that starts to make the antigen that you're going to wake up the immune system with. So the RNA, I mean, what's great about reading, and again, this was mentioned yesterday, that RNA technology now is being applied across many infectious diseases, and it's beginning to work, you know. So it looks like the future, all vaccines could be made of RNA because it's just so convenient. And of course, if it mutates, you can change the RNA then, you know, very, very quickly, you make a new one. And that's what's happening with COVID, by the way, with the FLIRT one. You know, FLIRT is the latest one, as you may know, and they're making a vaccine for FLIRT. They can do it very quickly. So these things give us hope that it won't be quite as devastating as the COVID pandemic that happened, you know.
Now, of course, meantime, the ordinary flu will come around, seasonal human flu, which is, we look to the Antipodes to find out what they have, and then we prepare for whatever flu might be coming our way in the autumn and winter. But in terms of trying to check out whether people have H5N1, is there a test like the old antigen test for COVID that can easily be used to find out whether A, B or C has this particular infection?
No, that's a really important question, because there isn't. And testing does take a few days. There was one case in Australia of a girl getting infected. It took weeks for that test to come back to say that she had H5N1. That's not feasible if this starts to spread in humans, obviously. So again, they're ramping up making antigen testing like we did for COVID. There'll be very similar tests will be available for this as well. And the question is, how much should they invest? It's the usual thing, how much should they invest in this? How big is the risk? But certainly they're beginning to move towards antigen testing as a quick way to do it. And there's also a call for international coordination. In other words, every country should be looking out for this now and testing for it, because just that it may come to Ireland, remember, and we need to know that pretty quickly. So the global position is also being considered here.
Is there any popular alert about this? I mean, one of the things about America, it's dominated by money. So the first thing, if you thought there might be a pandemic on the way with H5N1, you look at the shares in KFC. If they're holding up, then they're not worried.
They're holding up. Well, you know, it's a strange thought how many birds are dying. I mean, it's remarkable here. One guy gave a talk on this. Millions and millions of birds have been culled on these poultry farms, you know. And then, of course, in the wild, they're seeing it spread in the wild as well. And wild bird species are dying as well. There was stuff about Scottish, you know, in Scotland, carnage among certain populations. So it really is lethal for birds. And again, can you imagine if that jumped into humans and had the same level of lethality, we'd be in big trouble then. You know, that's the concern. So that's why they're watching it closely, I think. This seems to be especially nasty as a flu virus, especially for birds.
And do they know of the survival rates, you know, the natural selection process that allows some birds to survive and thrive and therefore regenerate flocks?
Yeah. They're studying that now, exactly, to see what the genetics of this would be. A certain percent of birds won't die and they must be resistant, just like with humans. You know, this is how evolution works. So often an infection comes along and it's survival of the fittest, and certain birds are surviving this. And they're exactly trying to figure out what part of their immune system is overactive to allow them to survive. So there's loads of work going on among the veterinary doctors to try and figure out what's happening in birds to give us information. Mm.
Finally, Luke, and the politics of all of this, you know, what they did to poor Dr. Fauci, whom you know. The way he was discredited and ballyragged in the congressional committee. I mean, you wonder, under a Trump administration, were there to be another pandemic, how well America might cope?
You would wonder, and you can imagine what all the talk here is of that yesterday at the conference. There was endless discussions of what was going on here. So they're all very concerned of what's going to happen with it with the Trump administration. But it is mainly in the veterinary side at the moment, and those people seem very sensible to me. A couple of the speakers were veterinary people, you know. So maybe it's less politicized if it's killing birds, it seems, is it? Maybe, than if it's infecting humans. Yeah.
Text from listener in Leitrim. Is this the reason there are so many dead birds around? This past week, at my house in Leitrim in the countryside, 3 dead birds, which I found quite strange.
It could be, yeah. And what's important is to test those birds, really, to see if they picked up H5N1. I think surveillance is key, Paz, in the next period. And it'd be great to know, is it in Ireland? It probably is, you know. And the question is, how many birds are now dying because of this virus? Great to know that.
All right. But we know that H5N1 has hit Ireland anyway. It must have done.
I checked that this morning. I haven't seen a report of it yet, but it must have done. Yeah, given how contagious it is among birds, there's a good chance it's already in Ireland. You know, I'd like to know that, though.
All right, Luke. Thank you very much for joining us from Boston. That's Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.